Hello and welcome to We the People. 3 years ago this week, the Modi government launched its Smart Cities campaign, an ambitious plan to build 100 futuristic smart cities in India. But as this week's devastating flooding post the monsoons in Mumbai and Srinagar showed, perhaps fixing accident-prone metros is the greater task at hand. In Delhi, the plan to cut over 16,000 fully grown trees in a city that has the worst air quality in the world exposes just how much our cities are screaming for urban planning in India. Where does the Smart Cities mission stand today, 3 years into its launch? Are we a long way from setting up citizen-friendly and sustainable cities across India? We're asking tonight, is environmental degradation an acceptable price to pay for economic growth? On the show tonight, we have Vineet Goenka, the former national co-convener of the BJP's IT cell. We have Professor Gaurav Vallabh, spokesperson of the Congress, Richa Pandey, spokesperson of the Aam Aadmi Party, Vimlendu Jha, Delhi-based environmentalist. He's filed a petition against the felling of these trees in the capital. Sumaira Abdul Ali, Mumbai-based environmentalist and activist. Mukhtar Naik here, architect and urban planner, a senior researcher at the Center for Policy Research. Dr. Jaideep Bhattacharya, convener of the Committee of the Economic Standards for the Smart Cities Project. TV Mohandas Pai, top IT industry veteran, and as he describes himself on Twitter, a global citizen but a Bangalorean at heart. And also from Bangalore, we have Srikanth Viswanathan, CEO of Janagraha. That's a non-profit organization that aims to improve quality of life in urban India. Vineet, I want to start by asking you that opening question. Now, the Smart Cities mission, it was this ambitious project launched by the Modi government, right? Where does it stand 3 years on? Because the Parliamentary Standing Committee on Urban Development said that only 1.8% of the funds that were released have actually been used so far.
Yeah, this is the first time probably in the independent India where a centralized thinking was going on to make a smart city, where conditions of the life, energy conservation, efficiency of transportation was thought of. So it took some time to plan this up, and I think this is in the right direction. As far as the fund goes, I think by 2020, we will have the smart cities functioning. And I'm very happy that more than 500 kilometers of metro has been planned to support this. If you go to various cities, which has been done there, the efficiency level is very high. And maybe by December, we'll see some results which are there.
Okay, so you say it's taken some time to be planned, but
this is entirely first time in independent India which there was a centralized planning.
Like I said, it's an ambitious
plan. Before this, nobody thought about this kind of thing.
Okay, but many would say in our cities, time is running out. But that apart, you mentioned planning. Many are concerned about what we mean by planning, because if you look at what's happening in Delhi, these projects that involve the cutting of trees, they're run by the National Buildings NBCC, right?
Yeah.
And the CPWD. Both of them are central government run organizations.
See, when you plan development, there are certain pitfalls. And I would not like to shy out from
breathing
your
air is a pitfall?
No, it's not.
Clean
like,
air?
If you give me 20 seconds, I'll explain both to you.
Okay.
So when my heart goes for these trees which have been cut there, but we have to see the realistic figures there, the cuts, the trees which have been transplanted. So if you go to Ashoka Road, you see near the Lee Meridian Hotel, there trees have been planted there. Some trees have been planted in various places. So there will be transplantation of trees. There may be some trees which will be cut. We may lose some trees right now, but this will be rehabilitated by new saplings which will be planted there. Now this is a price which we have to pay for development. Just think about 8,000 people traveling from Greater Noida, Gurgaon, to Central Delhi to attend jobs, and the carbon level which will be emitted every day. Put together that, if you see, this loss of 2 or 3 days will be good. I think this 2-3 years of loss of carbon will be better than that 2-3,000 cars every day traveling every time to Central Delhi. So we have to see this. So many times what happens, I'll just give you a sense. Many times we go overboard to defeat the main purpose of this. So, well, I am concerned about the trees which have been cut, the way it has been not been done. Probably the authorities will look into it. The SMEs who are the subject matter experts will look into this. How do we minimize the losses?
But you can't look into it once the trees are cut. So you're saying my heart goes out for these trees. Your heart should be going out for the people of Delhi, because the point is you may have a smart city. Let me finish now. You may have wireless, you may have all of this, and you're right. 15,000 people, they're building 8,000 homes right now, will become 15,000 homes. They won't have to travel on the metro. But if you don't have air to breathe, what is the price we're paying?
No, this is a wrong statement, because the trees have been planted, new saplings have been planted.
See, saplings and trees are very different.
Of course. When you have you seen the condition of the houses which were there in Sarojini? It was planned 50 years back, they were built. No air, no light, they were constructed as per the architectural plannings which were available in 1970s and 1980s. Now think about the new standards which are energy efficient, more sanitary friendly, less energy consuming accommodations which are there. Now this will help us to reduce the total carbon print.
But my question would be this. Have we even looked into whether there was an option of doing this without cutting the trees?
I'm sure the NBCC architects, otherwise NGT would not have allowed. And otherwise, the Environment Ministry of the AAP government would not have allowed.
Well,
because the signatures there.
The Parliamentary Standing Committee also said that there's a huge shortage of urban planners. That's one of the reasons why these smart project cities haven't taken off. But Vimalendu, please respond over here because we have a very strong statement. His heart goes out for these trees. But, you know, we don't need them. The cost we're going to be paying is less by the fact that all these people will be saved having to drive into the city.
You know, what they say right now and what they've been actually doing is very, very different. We're actually talking about 17,000 trees to be. It's a part of a design where they're saying that we will build over trees rather than around trees. If you actually go to these areas in Sarojinagar, Netajinagar, Nairojinagar, and Kidwainagar, they've actually chopped off 60, 70-year-old trees, and he's saying that there is some kind of a compensatory afforestation that has taken place. Just yesterday, day before yesterday is when Hardeep Puri actually said that yes, now onwards we'll revisit the plan. Mm-hmm. Actually, all this while they had chopping of the trees in their plan. Now that the flag that they've actually got through protest and through petition in the National Green Tribunal, and when they say it all happened through NGT, no. The interim ban on this happened because they violated every condition that was actually laid by National Green Tribunal, which actually said do not cut. If you have to really, really do something, then translocate. And if you have to really do something, then do compensatory afforestation before chopping off these trees. 4,000 trees have actually been felled for this redevelopment project, and not a single tree in the name of compensatory afforestation has happened. I should tell you, and this is the document, if you look at Hardeep Puri's tweet and NBCC's tweet just yesterday, that in East Kidwainagar, in 4 years, they've actually chopped off over 3,000, 4,000 trees. And as per CAG report, they were supposed to plant 8,000 trees. When they got the flak, just day before yesterday is when they actually planted 3,895 trees. And what they count, as in tomorrow, if they start counting Tulsi and Gulab as trees, then it's a sham. Because if you go to the campus right now at East Kidwainagar, you'll see palm tree. It's called native. You know, just now I met Pradeep Krishan and many other environmentalists of this city right now, of the country. They say only 95 trees out of 3,895 trees are actually native. Rest are decorative species. Gulab and Champa is what they're planting. And they're saying that's compensatory afforestation. And the last point, when they say that they're going to chop off 70-year-old tree and they will plant, and I believe them, although every evidence that we have at our disposal of last 20 years of compensatory afforestation, it has never worked. Just in April, the Honorable Supreme Court told the central government that you had 90,000 crores as compensatory afforestation fund. And what did you do? You did not spend that money on environment or compensatory afforestation. You spend that money on building roads and fixing sign slabs. So it's a farce when they say compensatory afforestation. And what
so
do I read in that 10 years?
This was senseless. They just rushed into it.
There's
but
nothing.
Respond, incorrect. But respond
it
one
is
minute.
Not incorrect
other,
because this is evidence.
1 minute. But you know, the other point that he raises is that, you know, development has to come at a price of something. As he points out, this controversial housing project, these are, you know, two-storied government
I'll
houses.
I'll bust that also.
Two-storied government houses, hear my question out. They're going to raise them. They're going to build high-rises, right? 8,000 homes right now will become 15,000 homes. You need a commercial outlet to be set up there because they will auction off this commercial space, and that's how they will pay off the building of this construction. Otherwise, you and me, the taxpayer, will be paying for it. And all of these people who are living far away, maybe, you know, they're taking autos or they're driving or they're taking the metro, we're going to be saving on that kind of diesel and petrol that's into the environment.
I'll tell you, of course, there's a 39,000 deficit of government housing, right?
Yes.
But there's also a 9 lakh trees deficit in our Delhi. Now, you have to decide whether you need a house or you need breath. Or if you can borrow breath from some other state, from other country, then let me know and I'll also write to them. That's point number one. Point number two is that if you look at the real documents of the government of India, of this entire project, almost they say it's government bungalows. It's a sham. World Trade Center, 60% of buildings that they're doing. You know, try typing NBCC on Google. You'll actually see these buildings being auctioned, these complexes. Do we need more malls in Delhi or do we need more trees? We have enough shopping complexes in Delhi. We are not producing people right now, right? We're saying that these people need to go to a shopping center. They can go to Sarojini Nagar, they can go to Select City Walk. And I'll tell you, the reason why we need to raise our voice today on this and very, very strongly is because that's what they've been doing forever. For Pragati Maidan, Sundar Nagar, you know, all the malls that they've constructed, Delhi did not become a choke city.
Let me give him some real figures because...
Just one second. Delhi did not become a choke city overnight. There's a flaw in our planning and we worked really, really hard. So when you chop off your Aravali and build a Select City Walk, and when you chop off the Aravali and build the fancy malls of Saket, you will breathe PM 2.5 and dust.
Okay, we have Mohanda
so
Pai joining us. One second.
I'll
come back to you one second because I don't want to lose the line with him. He's joining us on Bangalore on Skype.
Of course.
Mr. Pai, your Twitter, you've described yourself on Twitter as a global citizen but a Bangalorean at heart. But you also believe in the concept that all cities need to have high rises. What would you say in response?
I'll tell you why. If you want to have a good environment, you need to concentrate people and their activity. When we did a sustainability report for Infosys, we reduced our energy consumption per capita by 50% in 5 years. 50%, we saved 330,000 tons of carbon every year. But we are surprised when he made the study to say the largest carbon footprint is because of commute. Now, if you have a sprawling city like Delhi, which is maybe 1,200 kilometers, square kilometers, because NCR region, then obviously people have to commute long distances. Concentrated high rise to confine people into a smaller area, they don't have to commute, along with public transportation and the metro, because the biggest carbon footprint comes through commute all over the world.
Is there no way of building these high rises while incorporating the use of trees, as I'm sure you've seen on all your travels abroad?
Absolutely. Look,
there are atriums, many of these buildings that are made abroad incorporate the use of these trees. And do you know, are you confident that the government has actually considered that? The question is, we know that we are urbanizing. Are we doing planned urbanization?
Yeah, but it has to be planned urbanization. We need urban planners. Our urban areas don't have city planners, and I think it's a tragedy for the last 30 years. They've not been hiring enough city planners. We have to go high-rise, and when you go high-rise, we must use environmentally sustainable buildings. For example, if you paint the roof white, it reduces temperature by 3 to 4 degrees. There are many, many ways to reduce energy consumption.
But yet you're supporting this project in Delhi. You're saying this high-rise must come up because it's in the heart of Delhi. It'll cut down transportation and commute.
Absolutely. And the Delhi is in a mess because of long leads, long transportation and commute. If you look at the PPM,
cut, 16,000 trees.
You see, mature trees should be replanted, smaller trees can be cut, and you must replant more. It's not necessary trees have to be in the same place because there is no data, there is no logic to prove the gentleman's point that in a particular area you cut 3,000 trees, you can't breathe. I think that's ridiculous because the air system is huge. Air system is absolutely huge. Just because you cut 500 trees doesn't mean you cannot breathe. The air comes through the breeze. It doesn't come from the local area. I think we must learn not to exaggerate or blow it up. I think we need scientific data.
I think, but sir, we've all studied in class 4. We've all studied photosynthesis. We know that trees emit the carbon dioxide, emit the oxygen.
Compulsion to central government program should not make you so illogical about
this. Delhi has 10 million trees.
Everyone knows that what does a tree do?
You cannot be so naive to stop a person from speaking.
I want the gentleman to understand. Give us data. Delhi has 10
nursery level things, if he doesn't understand,
if 10 million trees are there, your
area okay,
not
okay, but that said,
so
Mr. Pai, that said, okay, one yeah, second, but that said, Mr. Pai, you, I've been to the Infosys campus, you've built this fantastic, beautiful campus, you say it's been built, well planned and built, but it's built completely outside Bangalore city. So why does the same logic not hold here?
Because you don't get land in Bangalore city. Only government.
We don't get land in Delhi. We don't get land in Delhi.
Let me give you some real figures.
This government land. None of you have land in Delhi. It's government land. Okay? Because you're outside the city, commute consumes more energy.
But is the government responsible to the people? with for what it does on the land that it owns. This is government land. The government is responsible and answerable to the people. So it is, in a sense, it is the people's land.
Can I give
land.
Some figures?
Vineet, please respond.
So it is nothing wrong in that. If you concentrate people, you
Mohan, this is Vineet here. One minute. Mohan, let me just put some perspectives. See, when he talked about 3,000 trees, let me frighten him more. There are 14,031 trees which will be cut from the existing 21,000 trees. That's the proposal.
Which the government, the minister said only 14,000.
Yeah, I'll tell you. From there, but out of the 23,475, only this much will be cut, which will be replanted. Whereas, 38,000
will be replanted.
I never spoke when you spoke in between. Let me make a sentence. Otherwise, what will happen?
Okay, let him respond. But Vineet, 1 second. Vineet, you say. Okay, please don't. No, these are not childish comments. Please don't interrupt.
I heard you, sir.
Every second child has asthma. Let it be childish.
Let me speak, sir. I heard you.
Let him speak.
But Vineet, the only problem with you is you think that the only things which you know are correct. Vineet, you are giving incorrect figures.
He's going to let you speak. But you said it will be planted. My question
Please
to you is
let
this.
Me answer.
No, 1 second. The NGT says not will be planted. It needs to have been planted before you
Can
go
I
ahead
answer
with
you?
The project.
I heard you. I heard him. And I heard many people. So please give me 20 seconds
you
to answer.
You can't have heard me if I haven't
so
made my
currently,
point.
What is the cover? 383,000 square meters is the cover, which will be increased to 10
will
lakh square
be, again, that
how
is
do you
the
do
point.
It in one day? They gave me a legacy of 70 years
but
of non-planning.
If I don't agree with you, how is
that? So this is the plan. Now this can only happen when the trees are transplanted. Now there will be places, there will be time when it has been cut. We'll have to bear with that cut. Otherwise, it will never happen. Number two, what about the people who are staying in that kind of buildings which are falling down, every day living under the threat of death? Two, do you want really people to stand in the queue for two hours and three hours? See the summation of the carbon which has been emitted by the cars versus the small
okay,
loss.
Okay, that point you've made, let's move on. That point you've made, let's move on. Okay,
plant a tree, right?
You want to come in over here? One point that Vimalendu raised about, the money that has been used by this government, Vimalendu said was on certain issues, not on building trees. The Congress has in the past spent a lot of it on building flyovers.
No, I am just coming to that. Anywhere in the world, a city comparable to Delhi, had you seen on the name of development, people are justifying cutting 16,000 trees at a time? Nowhere. And he is giving all sort of childish argument. Why can't we have the government offices shifted to outskirts of Delhi?
Sir,
and
why are 70 years?
Let me finish.
Cutted by somebody in the last 60 years, some prime minister had cut the trees. Arre, to be
who
logical,
said?
You mentioned that.
In your opening remark,
you mentioned that 1.8% of amount allocated is spent on smart city.
Yes.
For first 2 years, are you aware that government is discussing what do you mean by smart city? Then they defined what is a smart city in their circular. After 2 years, what happened? The amount which they are spending is also an area-based development where the benefit is going to be received only by 9% of population. See, the government is having only one problem. They used to have too many fake promises with too many acronyms for the projects with too little to offer, and nothing is thought before announcing anything. I am asking you, you mentioned about our UPA 1 and 2. What was the JNNURM? What was the success story?
Across the India,
JNNURM had a success story. Now what they are seeing, every day new scheme, anywhere in the world is 16,000 tree workers.
Okay, that question has been raised. I'm going to move on. I want to bring in Aap. Hold on. Please, I want to bring in Aap. Please, gentlemen, gentlemen, let's just get, can we get the other panelists in?
I'm asking you, which city you had seen?
Can we please get the other panelists in? No, no, one second. Hold on, please. Please, Gaurav, please. I want to get Richa Pandey in. Richa, you know, any development project of this size needs to get clearances from various agencies. This includes the State Forest Department, which means Aam Aadmi Party's forest minister gave it a clearance. So now you're claiming that the BJP is cutting all these trees down and that you're the voice of the party, people, but that was not the case when he gave the clearance.
So first I would like to say a couple of things before I come to answer your question.
But you must answer this
question. Yeah, I will answer. On 21st of June, the citizens of our country, we all saw our respected Prime Minister hopping around a banyan tree. And one, we all know that one tree produces oxygen for approximately 5 people. So 17,000 trees will produce oxygen for at least 80 to 90,000 people. And our Prime Minister was hogging oxygen of one tree, which is equivalent to for oxygen for 5 people. And he was hogging that oxygen and becoming fit, which is good. Which is good. But when the lungs of Delhiites it's in picture, they said they will do an impact assessment and they will take 3 years. But that impact assessment, for some reason, because they are very smart people, for some reason that was done and closed and approved by the ministry, by Mr. Harshvardhan, in 3 months. And here today they are saying, and Mr. Puri is also saying, now we will reconsider. Earlier could not, they could have built. A smart city is a city where the tree, you can plan the city around that tree, you can plan that house in the courtyard. There is a deficit of only 39,000 people, household. So now you are shifting the blame on Aap. This is a NBCC is a central government project. Ministry of Environment is a central government agency. Your land is central government.
Sir,
where is our?
On the signature.
We are the ones.
To your
we are.
Minister.
Yes, it this belongs to minister.
Approval,
so, but
by your minister.
The authority.
But the
please,
can focus
but
on
have
this
one second.
Sir.
One second.
Vineet,
I've answered that question. Vineet, one second. Don't interrupt when she's talking. Now, Vineet, same rules hold for everybody. Richa, what Vineet is saying, hold on, is the question I asked you. Richa, one second, please.
You
could have
that.
Objected at that point of time because the government had to get clearance from your minister. You could have objected
clearance.
At that point of time.
The authority for above 1 hectare lies with LG. We don't have any power to give any clearance on anything.
I need to.
Today
I'll
the state
read it out for you, the
Delhi is
by the
a union territory. No. Please let me answer.
Please
you can
I have a comment.
I think
it kindly be approved, signed by his minister.
I think you should let me answer first and have the guts to listen.
I'm putting paper.
No, you are
Vineet.
I'm not sure what paper you have. The fact is we do know. No. The Imran Hussain had actually said in a set of file notings. Vineet, please. I'm not sure what paper you have. The paper we have. One minute.
Paper to me the morning.
Hold on. So now the Congress and BJP are working together. So now Congress and BJP are working together. Fantastic. That's the story. Congress and BJP are working against us.
If you want to blame Congress and blame them.
One minute. Can I please? No. I don't. Sir, one second. Hold on. Please, I want to get to the other. I want to get to the other panelists. We're going to put your mics down. Vineet, Gaurav, please stop. Please, Vineet and Gaurav, please stop. We're going to have to cut your mics down. We have other panelists waiting. We haven't gotten to them. Please, will both of you behave? All I can say, and I think the audience will be in agreement with me, sab mile hai isme. Everybody, all the political parties have let us down. I don't know what paper you have. The Environment Minister, Imran Hussain, had actually stated the number of trees proposed to be cut is too large. Project proponent may be requested to submit revised project report. They went ahead with it. But that said, Richa, last year, in July last year, 1,700 trees were cut at Pragati Maidan. And that was under a project, the PWD project, the Integrated Transit Corridor project, and that was Satendra Jain who cleared it. So please, Aap is not above blame here.
ITPO is the agency Yes. Pragati Maidan initiative is a central government initiative. So first we should be clear whose initiative it is. PWD is just a contracting agency type of role. So and till right now without LG, we don't have any authority right now in Delhi to do anything.
No, but not when it came to this project and not when it came to Pragati Maidan.
If a file comes to us, we have to sign it because LG will anyways pass it. So, ITPO is a central government project.
Okay, I want to go to Jayjeet. Jayjeet, Vineet makes this important point, right? He says development has to come at a cost. Somebody has to pay. The question is, who is paying and who is gaining?
I think we should first look at the problem statement. We all most of us here are living in our own cozy homes, and then we believe that others should not get access to it. There is a problem in terms of getting access to resources, and once one gets access to resources, it leads to destruction. That really happens. And the 16,000 trees getting cut is a large number, but how do we solve the problem of having more people accommodated, having low-cost accommodation? Have you seen the accommodation that constabulary, the police constabulary gets? It's really not something that humans
Fair
can
enough.
Live in. There has to be a balance between these two forces where the problem statement is very large. Either we build new cities, and new cities can't be built overnight. It takes at least 10 to 15 years for a new city to come up on stream and start having enough accommodation. But in the meantime, if the proposed objective is to have densification in cities, which is what worldwide everybody is focusing on, and densification of cities, then one has to go vertically up, and then one has to solve the problems of not just trees, but also of water, of sanitation, of roads,
Absolutely.
Of transportation, and so on and so forth. The problem that's coming up is that we are not having an institutionalized approach towards solving this. We are having a building coming up without the rest of the issues being looked at. We're not looking at the quality of air being degenerated because of traffic inside the city and also because of activities outside the city. We're not controlling either of that. There has to be a large planned approach to it. And just to give a semblance of what we're talking about in terms of Delhi, Delhi and North Korea have roughly the same population. Just to give the magnitude, we need to have that kind of planning. It's larger than most countries in the world, and we are just treating it as a small town or a small village which
and
has simply grown up.
Growing by the minute.
It's growing extremely fast, and we don't have any new cities. How many new cities have come up in the last 30, 40 years?
But I want to go back to my opening question in the introduction, right? Does it have to be at the cost of the environment? Does it have to be a direct like trade-off between the two? Because, you know, many environmentalists would say that under this government, the Environment Ministry has just become a rubber stamp and it is development at all cost. But the point is we are paying for it because according to a BCG, a report,
sure.
They said that congestion in Delhi, Mumbai, Bengaluru and Kolkata cost the economy 1.47 lakh crores annually. These are numbers that the government will understand. GDP is affected. World Bank report says rising temperatures, changing rainfall patterns will affect 2.8% of India's GDP by 2050. That the government is concerned about GDP. The public is concerned about the fact that I may save money on housing and rent in the city, but I'm paying more when I go to the doctor every month. I'm paying more when I go to the doctor every month for my child. So I'm not, am I really saving money?
You know, my own report says we are having more than 1 million people dying because of air pollution. My own report says that. The point is that the issues need to be resolved in multiple ways. Trees being cut obviously is not a solution, but electrification of transportation clearly is a solution. How fast are we moving towards electrification of transportation? Are we providing tax benefits for electrification of transportation, which clearly is one of the larger sources of pollution? 80% of refined oil is used for transportation. And what happens when you burn the oil? You get carbon dioxide and all the PM2.5 and PM10 particles that come up. So you're not looking at the issue of sustainability in a much more integrated fashion. And we're trying to focus on one small project which is going to lead to housing being created at a certain cost. When the roads get created, when the highways get created, a larger number of trees get cut. I'm happy that people are getting sensitized to the fact that development is coming at a cost of trees getting cut, of environment getting hit.
Like to come
but at some point in time, we need to create a balance and have a far more integrated approach across all of these issues that we're talking about.
Okay, we have Sumaira, she's waiting, joining us from Bombay, also an environmentalist. Sumaira, will you respond over here? Because some important points have been raised. The spin we're hearing here, one way of looking at it, I'm sorry, it's not spin, is that people who have homes are objecting to the fact that other people, these trees shouldn't be cut, which are going to build homes for people who don't have homes.
By 2031, India's urban population is projected to increase by more, another 200 million. It will be 600 million, which would be 40% of our country will be living in urban areas. What do? We need homes for these people. We need roads.
I think we use the term smart cities and development and environment in very isolated ways. We don't really haven't come to a conclusion as to what a smart city means. To me, a smart city means a city where the environment and the needs of the people are well balanced, because after all, you're talking of a city where you will have a good quality of life. And I think when you say that so many trees will be cut, and I'm hearing from the other panelists that they will be replaced, I would like to see on the map the exact locations where these trees will be replaced. Yeah. And I'd also like to see the procedure to be followed for the transplantation they have talked about. Will they be somewhere within the area, maybe at the periphery of the area? Will there be some area left blank? Has the planning taken into account whether it could be planned leaving the trees intact? I think these are all parts of urban planning which have not been taken into account at all. And it's not just trees, whether it's air pollution, whether it's noise pollution, whether it's so many other aspects of planning. We really need help from cities which have planned better than us, as well as from cities which have planned worse than us, so that we learn those lessons. We've taken years to come out with the whole concept of smart cities. I'm really surprised that we're still discussing this, whether environment is at the cost of development or development is at the cost of environment. Surely this should have been addressed right up front in the beginning and people taken into confidence.
But when you say it should be done at the beginning, Mukta,
again, it's not only
one
trees.
One of the reasons why the smart city campaign hasn't taken off, Vineet says it takes some time, is the fact that we just don't have enough planners. The concept of planning, does that include, when we look at planning, do we include things like climate change management? Look at the floods in Chennai, look at the problems that we see in Mumbai every year.
So, I mean, the ecosystem of planning or spatial planning
that's
in India
exactly
is,
what I'm
is
saying,
in a very, very sad shape.
You cannot plan a smart city in isolation.
Okay, so Maro.
So, we've already made the point that a lot of the smart city is area-based in its conception. So, I mean, that is only going to intervene in a very particular area of the city. But when coming back to planning, yes, planning capacity is extremely low. Two, even the few urban planners we have, I would say that planning has been used in the service of land value capture in this country, which is exactly what these central government projects are, which basically means we have land in the city. I am not opposed to the concept of densification. Densification has been going around since 2012 when the first idea for redeveloping central Delhi's colonies was proposed. This is not about the BJP or the Congress or AAP. This is inevitable that Delhi is an inverted city. It has the lowest density in the center and higher Correct. Density outside, and that's just not happening. We know that we need to densify, we need to make a compact city, but how? In developing this entire area, which are all interconnected colonies, could not a more holistic plan have been made, which incorporated non-motorized transport, which incorporated something like a central park? I mean, here we are talking about being New York and Shanghai and Singapore, and we have the opportunity and we're throwing it away to make gated colonies and World Trade Centers. That's really the tragedy here.
So we're calling ourselves a World Trade Center, though we haven't planned the way
So there's a lot more that can be done.
Shrikant Vishwanathan, your organization did a survey ranking Indian cities, right, according to the quality of governance. What were the findings? What's the best and the worst? And how do you compare these Indian cities to cities that Mukta has just mentioned? New York, Washington, D.C., similar to Delhi, where it isn't vertical. I mean, it isn't built based on high rises.
So the study that you're referring to, Sarah, is called the Annual Survey of India City Systems, and it's done by Janagraha along with our sister organization, Jana Urban Space Foundation. So one of the principal findings of our study is that spatial planning acts and rules and practices in India cities are ridiculously outdated. So there's an urgent need for a modern, contemporary spatial planning paradigm to be cast into policy and then converted into practice. If you have such a planning paradigm, it is definitely possible for you to balance both development priorities and environment priorities. So as per the National Urban Spatial Planning and Development Guidelines, which is a model of a model, modern and contemporary planning paradigm for India cities, and there are four E's which are central to a good master plan: equity, environment, economy, and engagement of citizens. Unfortunately for us, most of our spatial planning acts and rules are quite outdated, and there is severe shortage of institutional capacities. But I want to just highlight one point that, firstly, this is not an issue that concerns only Delhi. This issue, perhaps, has more severe fallout in some of our smaller cities and towns and across all other large cities as well, including Bangalore. Secondly, this is not an issue of planning alone. This is an issue of city governance. Unfortunately for us, we move from symptom to symptom and crisis to crisis as far as our cities are concerned. Hmm. And we do not place city governance, both economically and environmentally, as among the top five policy priorities for the country, beyond, of course, just schemes and missions. So there's an urgent need to place city governance at the center. Primarily, the responsibility for city governance and urban transformation rests with state governments. It does not lay with the central government. Central government can lay down broad frameworks and boundary conditions, but it's the states which have to take leadership in this.
Okay, so I read your report, and which at one point your report says Indian cities don't have 100,000 problems; they have the same 100 problems repeated 1,000 times. What did you mean by that?
That's right. So what we mean is the same symptoms, whether you talk about potholes or about environment or about flooding or about public safety or about sewerage, the same issues plague all our cities, and they plague our cities episodically. So every year the same flooding problems will impact Mumbai, and it is not that monsoons come as a surprise to Mumbai. Every year you know that Mumbai is on the west coast, it will get monsoons.
You can time your watch by.
And the reason why these happen is because we just apply band-aids. We just apply band-aids and patchwork to these problems. We don't address this root and branch. We don't look at the root causes. And we believe there are four causes: urban planning and design, urban capacities and resources, essentially around finance and staffing, political decentralization, making sure that politicians managing the city are directly accountable to the people, essentially correct, mayors and council. And fourthly, transparency and citizen participation. Unless you address these four city systems, these issues will keep recurring.
Okay, Mohandas, one second. Mohandas Pai, you know, Shrikant's, the study that the organization has done has rated these cities. Pune comes on top, and Bangalore, your home city, you say you're a Bangalorean at heart, comes right bang at the bottom. And you are...
Is bang at the bottom for a very important reason. We have a very bad governance structure. Our mayor is there for 1 year. The council has no powers. They get no money. In fact, the chief minister of Karnataka is like the mayor of Bangalore. He decides how much money they should get. And Bangalore is being raped by a lot of people because there's a real estate mafia, there's a tanker mafia, there's a garbage mafia, and there is a ward councillors mafia. And the government who runs the state is helpless. It's an utterly badly governed city. And our city corporation is so very corrupt. They spend half the time making fake bills. We know that. We protested. We did everything. And that's why Bangalore is down. And our metro is behind schedule. We don't have a good public transportation system. The roads are choked. And Bangalore is the richest city in India in per capita terms, with possibly the worst infrastructure. It's the governance deficit that's causing Bangalore to be at the bottom.
Yet how do the people of Karnataka vote this time? Vineet, respond.
Yeah, so let me give three this thing. One of the problem which is transportation has been solved in Mumbai. Let's see, 99 kilometers been built on the metro, and this mass rapid transport system will probably help the people to travel in the electrical metros, which will reduce the pollution content there. Number two, use of geospatial technology to plan Thane smart city is probably first time in the India where ICT has been used very nicely there, and that particular technology cannot be used in Delhi, because Delhi, the sewerage outputs, the water inflow, all have been done 60 years back.
No, my question is, when we plan economic development, do we give a priority to, do we even value the environment at all?
Of course. Without that, there's no planning which goes.
Shrikant, one second. Shrikant raised an important point. He says these mayors, these politicians, etc., have to be directly accountable to the people. Let's talk about the role of the public right now.
Sarah, can I make a small...
One second. So let's just bring in the public. Now, Vimalendru, do our citizens have a platform where we can participate in civic matters in our neighborhoods, etc.? How many of us vote in like local municipal elections?
Of course. So that's the reason why we have arrived at this situation right now, is because citizens also gave up on their own active citizenship, right? As imagine, there is a protest happening last fortnight, but they saw these trees being felled. The same citizens of Delhi actually saw things happening in Sundarnagar, and they did not raise their voice. They did not
speak up. And this is a very well-off colony.
Absolutely, right? And similarly in Saket, similarly in Vasant Kunj, people did not speak up. Right now, as much as you and I are celebrating protest and petition and the fact that there's so much of an uprising in Delhi about felling of trees, the reality is that citizens also need to be a little more active and a little more on the ground. So, civic
and in these
participation
well-off colonies, when pollution goes up, now it's around the year.
They'll buy an air purifier.
Everybody has air purifiers. Absolutely. Which are running 24/7 and you're running a generator.
No, I would like
because
can
every time
I
there's
interject
a electricity cut. Yes,
there is a class dimension here. Delhi has actually, over its history, has had a very violent history of relocating and resettling a whole lot of slum dwellers from
Absolutely.
The central city. So where we're talking about having a compact core and a dense this thing, and we're talking about shortage of affordable housing, nobody listened to those protests then. In fact, it was the same RWAs who campaigned to
Correct.
Throw them out.
Absolutely.
They could have been in situ redevelopment. Much government land could have been reutilized to house them within, and Shrikant mentioned the word design, which is an important thing we don't consider. There are lots of talented designers, there are many solutions to this, but at that time it was convenient for the same citizen group. So I think there's also that we
and
should consider.
And now they have to travel all the way in to come and work
exactly.
in domestic help
so,
in our
so
homes.
That, what about that? And they can't even afford the metro fare now that the metro fares have gone up. So there's a real problem in this city. It's a segregated city, a lot of poor people living on the outsides of the city, the center, which is affluent, powerful, full of bureaucrats, and a ring of business people around.
Okay.
So we have a problem here.
We're talking about middle class apathy, and let's bring in some of the public over here, get your views on what you think. You are Riya Singhal, and you are the founder and CEO of EcoWare,
yes.
which is a sustainable food packaging company.
Yes.
Well, why did you choose to start this?
So I moved to Delhi 10 years ago. I was plagued by the fact that we had no waste segregation system. Our landfills were, growing. And I was aghast at the amount of plastic and styrofoam that people use in this country. We're a biomass-rich nation. It was very simple. Our solution was we used agri-waste, so we did not cut down trees. We used agri-waste and we converted it to disposable
agri-waste
timber.
Is what we complain is being burnt around
yes.
Diwali time in
so,
Haryana and Punjab and other places.
Absolutely. So typically all that stubble is what I could use as my raw material. And in the last 9 years, we've created three folds of impact. Obviously, there's been health because we've got fewer people using plastic and styrofoam. We've got the environmental impact because our products are completely compostable. So if you put them in soil, they turn into soil in 90 days. Like I said, the pollution.
But is this a rich man's problem? It must be more expensive, right?
Well, 9 years ago, yes, it was. And I intentionally kept it cost effective. But now, with all the bans in place that are, helping our business, no one's considering cost. The challenge for me now is reach and enforcement of regulation.
So in terms of reach, one of your clients is the Indian Railways.
Yes, that's right.
Well, that's a huge reach.
Absolutely.
If the Indian Railways can use biodegradable packaging for its food that's
yep.
served on the trains, that's a big step.
So exactly, and that kind of answers your point about being cost effective. I mean, the Indian Railways is the largest food provider in this nation, right? I was fortunate to work with them during the Commonwealth Games. Again, the Green Games where everyone used EcoWare. IRCTC were one of the caterers. I've been working very closely with them since last year to change policy and remove the aluminium foil containers that they've been using endlessly. And we're proud to say that they're now using EcoWare as their replacement.
So there are some steps that are being taken
yep.
slowly. Okay, but I think many of the panelists have mentioned this is an all-India problem. Let's go across to Manabi Katoch, who's joining us now from Ahmedabad. She was a resident of Chennai. She's a mechanical engineer. Turned writer, and she was a resident of Chennai when the floods hit. That's 2015. Now she's a resident of Ahmedabad. Manabi, when you were in Chennai, what was supposed to be a natural disaster eventually turned out to be a man-made disaster.
Yes. This was like 15 days ago before this flood had hit. There was another flood which was not of this large was not this big. But then I don't think the government had taken care of it, and there was this Charanbakkam dam from where the water was flown out, and it was flown out towards the Adyar River, and that is how Tambaram was entirely flooded.
Correct.
And it was within few hours, and our entire house was flooded.
So these are the natural ways that our cities have drainage. All of that has come to be blocked because of construction, unplanned construction. And this is the same you see in all cities.
Exactly. So in Chennai, it was the encroachment that happened, the entire OMR region. There was, if you look at 15 years ago, it was all lakes and it was all forest. And there's this report in BBC which says that between 2001 and 2013, around 8,000 trees were cut because of some project which was done by IIT Madras.
And you lost everything in your home.
Right.
So we have to factor into account, let's say, in people like this, because there is a cost. We're saying development has to come, somebody has to pay the price. People are paying the price. People like her have paid the price. They've lost everything they've owned.
Of course. I think, and that's the point we're trying to make, that when you're planning, you need to take into consideration both the issues. Now look at this fact that where we are right now, the studio used to be densely wooded. About 30, 40 years back, and I live next doors. This studio was created by cutting the trees off. Once we have this, and once we have our homes, which were built by cutting the trees, now we are saying that we will not let others build their homes, because that will lead to cutting trees and will make us uncomfortable.
No, I think what they're saying is there should be planned building.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I think some of the points that were being made was that it's possible that we can still keep the trees and build. Maybe it's possible, maybe less trees can be built, but the institutional approach is missing. I think one of the key words she mentioned was design. We are pushing every project as projects been pushed by management consultants or engineers or IT folks. The design part is missing. If you don't have design, then you will end up cutting the trees and filling up water bodies and taking out all the other environmental issues and not being considerate towards them. It's only when you bring in design that you can bring in harmony. But even then, given the population that we have, given the pressures that we have, there will be some impact, some significant impact on environment. The issue is much more fundamental than just the trees being cut. And the trees being cut is very important because it has at least rallied everybody together. The fact that we are intensely putting pressure on the resources that we have, every kind of resources, including air, including water, including sewage systems, and the fact that our water supply has become very good has led to the problem of sewage. If we had not supplied water, there would not have been any sewage. We have been very successful in providing water. And therefore, now we have to deal with
it. So we don't value it. You're saying the public doesn't value it.
Well, it's not just that. No, I'm not saying that public doesn't value that. I'm saying it's led to the problem of sewage getting created. But we did not plan that when we supply water, we must also treat the sewage.
Yes.
And therefore, what we're doing, we're dumping the sewage in the river that goes in our backyard.
Yeah.
And that's where we are saying that you do not have a completely integrated planning mechanism. We're picking up something. We're picking up a tree as an issue. Now, it's not just the tree. If you do not build this, you still have issues around what Mohandas Pai was talking about of vehicles coming in and creating pollution. So there has to be electrification, there has to be densification. Okay. And these concepts are well known in planning. They are nothing new.
Let's go across. Sujay Kantawala is a lawyer based in Mumbai. He's also filed a case against the BMC after the death of a well-known doctor in Mumbai who got sucked into a manhole during the monsoons, post the flooding that happens, recurs every year after the monsoons. Have things changed on the ground, Sujay?
No, they have not. In fact, I'll tell you, I've grown up in this city which was once very beautiful and once very spacious, and we could move around freely. But over the years, I've seen a severe degeneration as far as the city life is concerned. When we lost the good doctor who was one of the leading gastroenterologists, that prompted us to file the PIL. And I have been saying to bench after bench in the High Court that this is not an adversarial litigation. But it is very surprising when the BMC counsels come to the court, they kind of vehemently oppose this on affidavit as well as orally. They say we have got portable pumping stations and we've got fixed pumping stations. And you know what they say? They say that the public has to be vigilant because manholes are being stolen. The police has to be vigilant because when manholes are stolen, they are supposed to come and point out to the BMC officials that look here in this particular lane, in this particular ward, this manhole was stolen last night. Now, that is not the job of the BMC. The law clearly stipulates that
that the BMC is responsible for all the manholes. And we have 30,000 manholes in Bombay. And therefore, we said that there are manholes which have a free fall. So if a manhole which is part of a stormwater drain system, which the British had built, is opened and water gushes in, then you have a free fall of about 30 to 35 feet. If a person gets sucked in with that mad rush of water, that dirty water, it's impossible for that person to survive. So we filed a public interest litigation requesting that please fix grills. Okay. Just maybe 1 foot below the manhole area, you know.
Okay, so at least so if you're in this, something you can do. Okay, where I want to go across, I want to give. Okay, it looks like the public is always to blame if manholes are stolen or whatever. But I want to, Vimalendu, just if you could close this up, close up this debate for us.
Sarah,
the argument here, 1 second. The argument here is that there are people with haves who are objecting. This is a rich man's problem. We're objecting to trees being cut. NDTV once, this building, there were lots of trees here. The trees were cut to build this building. But now we're covering stories that are preventing other people from getting homes. Your closing argument and then we're done.
So, yes. So, the thing is that, you know, air doesn't really look at poor, rich or poor. It's not a rich person's problem or a poor person's problem in that sense. At the end of the day, it's the same air that everyone breathes. Right now, if you have a solution approach to this entire situation, that Delhi, of course, needs to grow. But do we need to grow at this air quality index condition? I've been saying that, yes, build these houses, but build around trees. We need houses. But why do you need to really chop these trees? Because, by the way, also the groundwater table that we're talking about, you know, just last month in Supreme Court, it was said by the central government that groundwater table is 90% of groundwater table in Delhi is in critical condition. And how does that recharge happen? As Mr. Pai thinks that happens through something else, as in it's not photosynthesis, but it all...
The NITI Aayog said that we're going to have the
exactly,
worst water
right?
crisis
so it's
possible.
It's many, many things. We're talking about wildlife, we're talking about groundwater, we're talking about dust mitigation. Boats. 40% of air quality pollution reason is dust that we're talking about, and Delhi is always under construction. So we will have to really treat this as a public health emergency, because there's one more statistics that we have, that 80 people die every day in Delhi NCR because of air pollution issues. So convenience, yes, but life, right to life, isn't that more critical? And are we just being urban naxals and romantics when we're saying protect my tree? No, it's a planning and governance issue. Right to breathe is a fundamental right that citizens
are
asking.
So we need a right to a home, but we also need the right to breathe. The task of building a world-class urban India is in a sustainable, planned manner. It is a tall order. Can our government rise to the task? And will we, the people, hold them accountable if they don't? That's a question we all have to ask ourselves. Are we going to speak up? Are we going to break the silence? That's it on We the People. Thank you. As we say, it's important to speak your mind, but it's also important to listen. Until next time, good night. Bye-bye.